Hi, Megan.
Hi.
Okay, welcome everyone to our, what is it, September mentor call in the 2019 Gentle Business Mastermind. We're here with beautiful Megan Della Camina. Thanks so much for joining us, Megan. I'm really excited to have another opportunity to chat with you and to introduce you to our mastermind members.
Thank you, honey. I'm so happy to be here.
You have such a very special place in all of our hearts, Naomi, myself, and Nicola, but also because you're the very first person that I nervously broached the idea of the Gentle Business Mastermind to in our sessions way back a couple of years ago.
Oh, wow. I didn't know that. I didn't know that was the first conversation. Oh, how special. Wow.
It could
I
have
love that.
gone, yeah, it might not have ever come to life if you hadn't nurtured the idea when I brought it up, I think. When it's so new and it's so vulnerable and you're like, is this a good idea? It could have very easily been dropped at that moment. So thank
Oh, you're welcome. Wow, that's special. Thank you for sharing that.
you. And a big hello and welcome to those of you joining us live and those listening back to the recording. I'll take a moment to do a little bit of housekeeping. We've got an hour blocked out for our call today, so I'll jump into questions as quickly as possible to make the most of our time together with Megan. Please use the chat box or pop your hand up if you want to jump in at any time. I've got plenty of questions to ask as well, but I'll divert to your questions as soon as they come in and read them out. And as with all of our mentor calls, or most of them, we'll keep the video off today and just use audio. Okay, let's get into it. Megan, I'm not going to read your official bio. Everyone's sort of got sent that before, and it'll always be sitting there in front of the recording. But I'd love ask you to tell me just a little about yourself instead, if you don't mind, and what's coming up for you at the moment, what's bringing you joy in your work at the moment.
Sure. Well, hi everyone. I'm so honored to be back here again with you, with these beautiful women. I love you all so much. And I do remember that conversation. I do remember, I didn't know it was the first conversation, but I do remember when you said Gentle Business Mastermind, and I just exhaled, you know? And yeah, it's so special. So thank you for having me here. A little bit about me. So I am a women's mentor, I'm a business coach and strategist, a speaker, an author, a company founder, an essential oils lover. And I say that because I'm sitting here with my little bottles on my desk, inhaling my Melissa oil and my peppermint oil as I speak to you. And my work in the world is really dedicated to helping women rise. In all aspects, and with the belief that when we help women rise up, we change the world, you know, because that's exactly what happens when we help women step into their power. And I do that through my coaching and my work, through my women's leadership work, through Lead Like a Woman, which is my company, through my books, through programs, through speaking, and just through being of service, right, to women who need it. So yeah, that's what I do. And I think at the heart of all of that is I love to write and share, you know, share thoughts, share wisdom, share inspiration, share other people's wisdom, and help people go on their journey to step into their light. Yeah.
So beautiful. So many things, but with such a clear goal and vision behind it all and purpose. Well, I've been reading your latest book, Simple, Soulful, Sacred, and I love it so much. It's such a beautiful book to dip in and out of with the bursts of inspiration and insight on the 1 to 2 page chapters, and just every page is gold, Megan. It's amazing.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much. Yeah, it's she came through me, that book. And when we can talk about that if that's of interest. But thank you. That really, I received that. Thank you.
Mm. Yes, please. Let's talk about that. How did it come to you?
Oh, it's really fascinating because she was two other books before she was Simple, Soulful, Sacred. And my second book was Lead Like a Woman. And I'd come off the back of that book and had a break. And then I had this other book come in. And when I say come in, I mean just come in terms of inspiration. And I wrote probably 3/4 of that book. It was a small book. It was about 50,000 words. And I just wasn't feeling it. You know, I had a publishing contract. I had a deadline. And I just kept saying to the publisher, I don't know if this is the book. And I couldn't explain it other than I knew there was something else waiting. And I had to, or I got to, choose to either go with what I had done or give what I sensed was coming in the space to come in. So that book turned into an iteration. I still wasn't feeling it. And then I took myself off to Byron Bay. This would have been last year, 2018. Still had a contract and still saying I'm not feeling it. And I sat down in my favorite, you know, organic cafe, as we do. And I just had my art journal and my pencil. And I just asked, like, what is this book meant to be? What is this book meant to represent? How do I want to feel when I'm writing it? How do I want women to feel when they're reading it? And the words simple, soulful, sacred just came onto my page. Like, I wrote them, obviously. They didn't, you know, arrive from, you know, from Mother Mary. Like, I wrote them on the page. It was the first time that I had put those three words together, and it was the first time really that sacred just landed for me with a real like depth of anchoring, if that makes sense. And like right there, I just basically threw out the other book or closed it and when this is the book, like this is the book I'm meant to write. And I, you know, from there, it was about a 9-month process of just literally letting it come through me. And that doesn't mean that it wasn't a massive amount of work, but it was inspired work. You know, it was very closely linked and embedded in my journey and what I was uncovering and unfolding into in terms of my life, my womanhood, my heroine's journey. And yeah, I unfolded into the book, and that's how she came to be. And she was double the size. So I actually wrote 165,000 words which is two books. And then yes, of course, was told, this is two books, please cut it in half. Which I did, and yeah.
It's still a thick book.
It's still a thick book.
It's a big book.
It's a big book. It's 85,000 words. So, yeah, it's chunky, and it's also really easily digestible, you know, which I wanted. I wanted it to be a book that women could find comfort in, could find solace, could find inspiration, could unfold into their own, you know, heroine's journey, and at the same time be the book that you could pick up, read two pages and put it back down again and have it be simple, of course, right? But soulful and sacred. Yeah, that just came. In terms of the journey of what it would uncover for you as you're reading it. So that was my intention, and I think that that's what's happening for women as they read it.
Certainly for me.
Thank you.
Mm, yeah, it's beautiful. And so what about the next steps? Because if I think over your other two books, you published the first one, Getting Real About Having It All, with Hay House. You self-published Lead Like a Woman. And then it seems like this one is also with Hay House, but with more of a global release. And I remember you talking last year about going to see an agent in New York. Like, what was the process of this one, and why did you do it differently, or what was different from your previous books?
Yeah, so Getting Real About Having It All, I was going to say it came out of nowhere, but of course it came from 18 years of my experience working in corporate. Just 18 years.
So simple.
So simple. And, you know, my own journey and my work around women and diversity and leadership and, you know, wellbeing, all the things. Lead Like a Woman, so that was with Hay House, because that's where I got the contract. Like, it just, yeah, it was synchronistic in all the very best ways. Lead Like a Woman, I co-wrote with my business partner in the Lead Like a Woman company, and we wanted to self-publish it. We could have got contracts. It wouldn't have been with Hay House. It would have been with a different type of publisher, because that's not their genre. But we wanted and felt very strongly that, number one, we wanted to completely control the destiny of that book. We wanted to get it out quickly once we decided that we were going to write it. We wrote it in 4 months and we got it out really fast. Mm. And we wanted to pair it with the Lead Like a Woman development program, which I teach in corporates all over the world. And there's individual women who go into that, and a lot of coaches actually go into that program. So that was a very intentional choice to self-publish. With Simple, Soulful, Sacred, I knew that she needed a big global publisher because of the reach that that gives you and the support that that gives you. And I have had an agent in New York, a really great, amazing literary agent in New York for a couple of years. But this book was destined for Hay House. You know, it was, there were other conversations that took place, but particularly Rosie at Hay House here in Australia had been on this journey with me and really held the space with me and for me as I went through the whole, it's not this book, I'm not feeling it, you know, it's not right, I need to go deeper, and really helped me craft not the book as such, but in some ways the book, you know. So, yeah, it was destined for Hay House, and I've had some beautiful support from Hay House in the US, which, you know, doesn't always happen for Australian authors, just like it doesn't always happen for UK authors and everyone else, because they have their own authors in the US, very big authors to support. But I think quite quickly the book did quite well. So, you know, it was on the, it was like number one new release in self-help and spirituality on Amazon in the first week. Mm. So I think the US, got interested, you know, of course, right? Because they're gonna get interested in things that are moving, because that's the publishing. So, yeah, it's become more global. And that was my intention. I've got a publicity team in the US. I was over there a couple of weeks after the launch. I was in Vegas for a speaking engagement, but then I went to New York and had some great, you know, meetings and media things happening, and there's a lot coming out in the US. So, yeah, it's been beautiful. And more, because it's still early days, right? Like, it's only been out for a couple of months, so lots more to play with, I think.
Yeah, great. Oh, that's beautiful. I love hearing the story of that and how each book, how you've really personalized each journey as the books come through and to birthing it into the world.
Hmm.
So you've shared so many different things that you do from going to Vegas for a speaking gig to online programs. So many things. You do so much. And Aoife actually popped a question into the Facebook group just before we started. I might ask you that now. She said, I'd love to know how you manage all the different businesses with staying sane, because you seem super busy. So there's that. And then I'd also be interested in how you market your services to organizations or companies compared to the work that you do engage with individuals on social media, etc. Because she knows that, yeah, that you do consulting and you do corporate work as well. Mm-hmm. She's struggling with how to find the time, but also how to market to two different groups. So this would be really helpful.
Yeah, great questions. So the first question was about just all the things. Yeah.
How do you manage all the things? How do you stay sane? But not just sane. Like I know that you are such a great role model for living simply and soulfully and in a sacred way. And that's not possible if you're, you know, doing a million different things and feeling really overwhelmed all the time. So
yeah.
How do you do business gently?
Yes. So, well, I'll first say that doing business gently is not how I'm built.
Okay.
Which I think is really important, right? Like, I didn't wake up like this. Mm. You know, I spent, I've been a workaholic my entire adult life. I think even in my teenage years, you know, I was the first to get a job when I was 14 and 9 months. The second I could get a job, I was working at the donut shop and the burger shop. You know, I'm a worker. I've always been a worker, a really intensive work ethic. And I've always wanted to get stuff done. Like, I've always wanted to create and make a difference and make an impact. And that's awesome, but it can also come at a cost. And I'm also a creative with a capital C. So, you know, like as I'm sure many, many, many of people listening, I get inspired a lot. I just want to go and do stuff and create stuff. And that may not always make sense. So yeah, I'm not built for gentle. I've had to I am built for gentle. I was socialized to not be. There you go. That makes more sense. Because I actually am built for gentle. Like, this is, you know, this is what my soul craves, is gentle. So that being said, I also had some pretty challenging lessons, you know, in my career. Burnout, illness, divorce, single parenthood, business partnerships that didn't go to plan. You know, like, there's been a lot of lessons. I'm in my 40s, so, you know, there's a lot of life lived. So when I look at my business now, and I've been in business now for 8 years in my own business, formally, like out of corporate, I work a lot, but I don't think I'm as busy as it looks perhaps on the outside, if that makes sense, because I have built in structures that keep me thriving, you know, that keep me grounded. And yes, there are absolutely periods where it is really intense, and I've been in that this year. And, you know, our businesses are in seasons, I believe. This year has been, you know, the first half of the year was, you know, finishing the book and deeply in the creative cave whilst running my companies, because I didn't step out completely to write my book. And then launch. Yeah. And try to not as soulfully as possible. I was finishing the book. I was building a new brand. I was building a new website, and we know what that's like. That all took 6 months, as well as the book writing. It's been a lot. So this year has been a very intense season. How I manage it, I have good clarity in each of the different aspects of what I do around what the priorities are, where it fits, where it contributes, and that means contributes externally and contributes in my business in terms of how much income is coming in from it, etc. How much time is it going to take? How much energy needs to go to it? So some things are like my Lead Like a Woman work looks like it's very intense. I'm in China, I'm in Vegas, I'm, you know, running programs for, you know, one in particular massive global tech company with hundreds and hundreds of women in it. But in terms of the energy that takes from me, it's actually really low because I'm at the top of my mastery curve in that business, if that makes sense. You know, and I know how to run that work with really high levels of service to my client and the women and men who are in that program, all genders. But I also know that I can manage that really easily. Other things like the book, really high intensity in terms of energy. So I think when you look across, for anyone who's running a portfolio business, which I think is most of us, for me the success has been really understanding those components, where they fit, where I'm at in the season of the different businesses and the different elements of the different businesses, and knowing how to manage that. So when I was in really deep work for Simple, Soulful, Sacred, my doTERRA business, which I am deeply, deeply passionate about and committed to, had to hit the pause, mm-hmm. You know, because I knew that I couldn't, you know, I'm in leadership ranks, I couldn't continue with that intensity and give Simple, Soulful, Sacred the love that she needed to fulfill her purpose. So having those understandings, be able to make those decisions, that is what keeps me on a sort of macro level. That's what keeps me, you know, in flow, in check, out of burnout, and making the contribution that I want to make. And then there's the personal practices, right? So I have very deep commitment to my meditation practice, my Kundalini Kriya practice, my Sadhana practice, and everything that keeps me in the space that I need to be in. Yeah. And that devotion to my spiritual practice and my health and well-being. So does that answer that first part of the question?
Yes, yeah. Absolutely.
Does that give you a good sense? And then look, there's all the things, right? There's the time management, there's the list, there's the productivity, there's the, you know, maintaining focus, there's the day-to-day management, you know, there's the boundaries, there's the what we say yes to, what we say no to, and there's a lot more no's than there are yeses, which is really important. So there's all of that, of course. Yeah, that I've cultivated. I want to say yes to everything and I want to do everything, create everything. But I'm getting better at discernment.
I love the distinction too, that you can put things on pause or you can just pivot and spend more time on one project, and it doesn't mean that you're abandoning all the other things. But at that moment, in that season, that's what's where you need to focus.
Yeah. And look, it's hard, right? Like if you're really passionate about, like I'm so passionate about that, and it's taken me a while to get to this place where I'm so clear now, because I had, you know, there was a couple of years in there that was like, I don't understand what I'm doing. You know, I have my business, coaching, speaking, writing, you know, corporate, blah, blah, blah. I have Lead Like a Woman. I have Sacred Living Co., which, you know, is a beautiful lifestyle website for women. I have my doTERRA business, which for me is called Sacred Essentials Co. Like, why am I doing all of these things? Like, I just want to be one of those people who can just, let's just do one thing.
I often think that too.
I know, right? But that's not how I'm built. I've recently just done my human design profile and now it all makes complete sense. So it's not easy when you're passionate about so many different aspects of what you do to say, I'm just going to hit pause over there. Like, it's, I don't want anyone to think it's like, oh yeah, you know, we'll just hit pause and we're not going to have a yearning to go and do those things. We're not going to still feel called to go and do those things. So it doesn't mean that it's easy, but it's required. Required. Yeah.
Yeah, I loved what you said about that in the book too, actually, about, you know, in order for things to feel easy and to feel gentle, it's, you know, we can talk for hours about, oh, just do what feels gentle and in flow, but you also can't shy away from doing the hard thing.
Yeah. Oh, well, especially in business, right? Like this shit's not easy, guys. You know, I was having this conversation with one of my entrepreneur coaching clients yesterday and she's like, oh my God, I made it through the first year, and laughed. And I said, like, yeah, don't laugh. Like, we need to celebrate that. Like, this is work, especially when you are in service to other people. So we get to celebrate that. We get to honor ourselves for showing up for that. And we get to acknowledge that, yes, it doesn't need to be hard work, but that doesn't mean it's not hard, if that makes sense.
Mm.
Yeah. Does that make sense?
Yeah. So, and Aoife's just said too, she can totally see how the clarity frees up headspace to get on with the work.
Yeah.
I think that's what I struggle with, and that lack of clarity takes up so much energy and time. So how do you get that clarity for yourself, Megan? Like, is it a weekly thing where you have to constantly check in, or...?
Yeah. So look, clarity is everything. Clarity is your number one, number one, number one, number one. Like, don't move with it. You don't move without clarity, right? Because like, where are you going to go? Like, if you're not clear, this is where I see people just spin their wheels and like literally go around in circles. So for me, I'm a strategist by trade, so that's helpful. You know, I'm a business strategist for a $5 billion tech company. So clarity around strategy is one of my things. I find in business that and in life, the quieter we get, the more clarity we have. So meditation, silence, time in nature, just reflection time and space, particularly in our businesses, right? Like if you ever noticed when you take yourself away from where you work, the clarity comes. Like me sitting in that cafe in Byron Bay and out of sitting at my desk where I write mostly and just going and sitting and asking, like asking for the guidance, and there it is after months of spinning my wheels. Yeah. So all of those things contribute really deeply to clarity. Getting very real with yourself, I think, contributes to clarity. Working with a really good coach contributes to clarity, and being able to have those clarifying conversations with someone who really understands the process of coaching. You know, as many people on this call would, and as you guys do, so that you can just get to the truth, not the shoulds, not the conditioning, not, you know, what makes sense. I mean, writing Simple Soul Full Sacred after writing Lead Like a Woman, in some ways it makes perfect sense, in other ways it didn't make sense at all to write this deeply soulful book after writing an evidence-based journey, you know. But like, what's your truth? what's your truth and how clear can you get on your truth, and then go and do that, you know, follow that path.
Thank you.
It's clarity is everything. Everything.
Aoife said helpful. Thank you. So, so that was on more of a micro level. I'm always so curious about how people break down their week and whether they love to have everything scheduled in or whether they just have a bit of an idea of what they might like to get done that week and what kind of support they have in place. Could you share a little about that too?
Yeah. So my personal commitments go in first. So which is mostly my morning practice. So this morning I was up at 4:45. Tomorrow I'm up at 4:30 because I'm in the start of a 30-day sadhana practice with my teacher and our group before we go to India in October. And we've just come off meditation retreat on the weekend. So like my mornings are absolutely sacred, like non-negotiable. I don't care. I mean, if Oprah called, I might make an exception. But like my mornings, like don't, my publicist in the US says, can you do this call at 5 a.m.? No, I can't. I'm sorry. My mornings are sacred. So all of my personal commitments go in first. And then I like to slot days where I can. So what does that mean? Tuesday, I like to coach. Sometimes that'll flow over onto a Wednesday. But Tuesdays since I started my business, have been a coaching day. Fridays, I like white space. Mondays, I'm typically in my business. And I may have a few things, but I try not to do client external facing things on a Monday. So, and then look, Wednesdays and Thursdays can be a bit fluid. If I have a speaking engagement or a, you know, client workshop, well, that just gets put in, you know, where the client wants it mostly. Mm-hmm. So I like having that sort of structure. I don't do nights. Like I will literally coach between 10 and 4 and I won't, yeah, like really there's no exceptions to that rule because that's what works for me. So yes, there's a lot of discipline and there's a lot of structure. Within that, there's a lot of space. So I don't like to, you would very rarely, unless like maybe like the most intensive week of the book launch, it was pretty busy, but my calendar always has white space in it. Yeah, because I'm a creator and I need that time, or I just need time in my business, you know? So yeah, does that help? Does that give you a sense?
Yes. Structure? Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
And space.
Yeah. Great. It's really, I can see how you're able to create so much then and to serve so beautifully to the clients that you do have and the community that you do have, because you've got that discipline and that space and all of those things.
Yeah, Nay's just saying thanks for working nights. Yeah, well, I'm doing it. Yeah. You guys are an exception. You're a very special exception.
Thank you.
This isn't work. This is like heart fill up joy. So that was just such an easy yes.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah, but I think you also need to be clear in your business. What are you here for? Like, what are you here for? And that's a really clarifying question. You know, I'm here to create and to serve, you know, create and serve. And that means create content, tools. I'm doing more in the program space, but, you know, create things that are going to lift you up, and serve my clients. You know, I take on a small number of clients, not a large number of clients, because I really want to be able to hold the container for the clients that I work with. And I can't hold that container for 20 clients at a time, you know, not with everything else as well that's going on. So like, I think the clearer you can get on, like, what are you here for? What's the main thing? Then creating that structure becomes a lot easier.
Thanks, Megan. Okay, so the second part of Aoife's question was how you market your services to organizations and companies compared to marketing to the one-on-one clients.
Yeah, so I'll keep this answer shorter because I think that last answer went for 15 minutes.
But it was so juicy.
We go with the juice. Yeah, look, it's an interesting question. I think because I came out of corporate with such a solid reputation in the women's space that the corporate work kind of came in the beginning, and then Lead Like a Woman came, and it's really just taken on its own evolution. I don't do any coaching in the corporate space. All of my coaching clients are individual women who come to me, and the vast majority these days are business owners and entrepreneurs. And I don't, this is really going to be an unhelpful answer. I don't actually do a lot of marketing to the corporate space, if any. So the work that I do in the corporate space comes from referral, and yeah, just reputation. So like, that's not going to help you at all. I know, I'm sorry. My whole brand previously, up until before this year, was quite corporate focused. So, you know, it was, you know, my content was very career based. It was very leadership based. So all of that is marketing. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Every piece of content you put out in the world. So I think thought leadership is a really big piece in getting to corporates. Reputation, referrals, etc. And I think also my high content in the media, like in really legitimate media outlets like Forbes, Fast Company, Psychology Today, CNN, CNBC, like all of Fox Business, all of that work that I've done, of course, is social proof and credibility for organizations, as well as, you know, a couple of master's degrees and half a PhD. So you put all of that together and, you know, that's why I've done so much in the corporate space. But in the my brand now is very much a much more open and all-inclusive, if that makes sense, to all women. That's my focus. So I will still do the corporate work, absolutely, because there's a lot of women in corporates and a lot of men that need support, all genders. But I'm really interested in doing more of the broader audience now as well. So that was part of the impetus behind the new brand and the evolution, you know, of my brand and my work and my content.
It's such a beautiful new website.
Oh, thank you. Mm. Yeah, I love it. Thank you. It just feels like me. You know, and my old website felt like me until it didn't. And that's the evolution, right? Evolution of your own personal journey, evolution of your work in the world, how you want to represent that. And it was a long time coming. It was about 2 years coming. I remember saying to Sam Thomas, when she was my operations director, year after year, saying, oh, it's time. Like, we need to do a new website. I need to evolve the brand. But I wasn't ready. I had to go through the process of writing Simple, Soulful, Sacred to go through the journey to become who I needed to be to represent the work, you know, in the new way. So that's interesting for everyone to think about as well, I think. Like, where are you in your brand evolution?
Yeah, it often starts with a little niggling thought, doesn't it? And then can take years to actually come to life.
Yeah, and people rush it sometimes and then they don't do it justice because as a reformed, impatient person, knowing when to sit and wait and let it unfold and let it come in and to fully develop before you rush into a process of change. Again, the clarity comes in the process. You know, the clarity comes in the unfolding. And we need to sometimes, not all the times, but sometimes we need to let that play out. Like I absolutely did for probably 2.5-3 years in my business. I just knew it wasn't time, you know? Mm-hmm. Yeah. I didn't have the clarity of the vision. I needed to sit.
I really needed to hear that. Thanks, Megan.
Oh, good. Oh, good. That makes me so happy.
I get impatient.
Yeah. Yeah. It's hard, right?
Yeah.
It can be really hard to sit.
Mm.
Yeah. But it's, I think until you see it, like until it, like the, my new brand evolved through the creative process with my beautiful intuitive designer, Joe. and we co-created, like it was a really, like a true co-creation process. But I still, and even though I couldn't fully see it when I started, I had absolute clarity on what I wanted it to feel like, what I wanted it to represent, how I wanted it to be in the world, if that resonates. So that clarity was there, but that took years to finally get to that point to go, yep, ready. Yeah, so don't be scared to wait. Meditation helps.
Mm.
Mm. Even when we don't like it.
Okay, I feel like we're going to get close to running out of time soon. So I want to come back to confidence because you're right in the middle of your confidence challenge. And I'd love to hear a little bit more about that. Talk us through some of the steps to what you believe brings confidence, radical confidence, deep confidence.
Radical confidence. I'm so in love with this. It's funny, you know, for everyone, you will all relate to this, I'm sure. When you ask to be shown the next thing, like make sure that you're really ready for it because otherwise don't ask. Like just don't ask. Like, you know, zip your lip, sit on your hands, don't ask to be shown the next thing if you're not ready for the next thing because that's what I did. I asked and I didn't mean to. Like it was like I really didn't mean to ask for the next thing. But anyway, I obviously did because it came through like bang. It's called radical confidence. And I was like, okay, that's interesting. I've been working in the space around women's confidence, you know, in business for 15 years, you know, when I was a leader, when I was working in diversity and leadership, of course, in my own business, with my Lead Like a Woman work, it's very, very core and the evidence base to confidence. So like I've done all the research, I've looked at all the research in all aspects for entrepreneurs, statistics and data for corporates, the whole thing. But as I was writing, as I was writing Simple Self or Sacred, there's a whole part in there on courage and confidence. I just felt myself being called to start a different conversation. And that conversation's not about leaning in and it's not about power poses and it's not about fitting in. It's about getting to this place of deep, soulful, feminine power, whatever that means to you, not about gender, confidence, like that true anchoring that no matter what is going on around me, like I'm okay in all aspects, you know, my work, my life, my relationships. I am deeply anchored. That's what radical confidence means to me. And I don't see that conversation taking place. So when I said, I've been working with Lead Like, this is me talking to myself because I do that a lot out loud. I literally, yeah, don't even ask me. My son thinks I'm bonkers. And sometimes I do it when I'm in the shops. It's very embarrassing. But I started having this conversation with myself about like, what's the next model? You know, like, Lead Like a Woman was a model. Like, what's the next thing? And there we go. It's radical confidence. So we've just done this confidence challenge, which was a 5-day thing. I thought, you know, 20, 30 women might come in. We've got hundreds and hundreds of women in there. It's been the most just remarkable experience for me, showing up and holding space. You know, we're on for like an hour or more in the mornings, and then holding space during the day in the Facebook group whilst everyone has their observations and reflections and aha moments. It's just been beautiful. I'm about to start a podcast when I create the space, called Radical Confidence. And then there's research and work that's going to be coming out in probably March in New York, and then in Australia next year, research-based and soul-based as well, and a program. So that, yeah, I just want, like, can you imagine millions and millions and millions and millions and squillions of women all around the world, in all places of the world, with this deep-seated, anchored, grounded, sacral confidence? Like, it would change the world, right?
Totally.
Yeah. So, yeah, so that's just something that I'm feeling called to explore right now.
Yeah, great. I know a few of our members did jump in and join your confidence challenge when we popped it in the Facebook group.
Oh, beautiful.
Earlier in the week. Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, I hope it's serving them.
I'm sure it is. I was just watching some of the lives before our call, stuff around stories and beliefs and being your most authentic self, getting clarity. It's just so good.
Thank you. Yeah, it's been beautiful. It's been beautiful. The things we get guided to do, right? It's, I mean, I was guided to do that. That wasn't a strategic decision. It was, you know, one morning. Oh, sorry. Part of it was a strategic decision, but it was mostly like, where can I serve? Like, right now, I've got a gap this week. Like, where can I serve? And how can I show up for women in my community, but also women who aren't in my community? I mean, look, we've got people in, like, places I've never even heard of in the world have come into the challenge. I don't know where they found me, but, yeah, it's been glorious.
Meant to be.
Meant to be, yeah.
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 Okay, I've got a final question for you. We're at the moment where each month of our mastermind is themed, and the theme for this month is socially conscious business. And you mentioned before your work in diversity and leadership, and I know that you've done, you know, half a PhD in this sort of area as well. And as someone who runs like a personal coaching business, how do you see this process in your business? How do you do business in a socially conscious way? What does that look like for you?
Yeah, such an important question. I think it for me and my business, it's about it's the lens that is across everything, which I think is really important. Right? Like, it doesn't fit in the pockets. It's the lens. And whether that's who I choose to work with, which clients I choose to take on and partner with, whether it's, you know, one of the big callings for me with doTERRA is, you know, the product and the purpose. It's the change that doTERRA is making in communities all around the world, and for so many of those communities, it's women, right? It's women coming out of poverty through this work and through socially conscious business and changing the world. So, like, it's just, and then it's inclusiveness. It's diversity. I've had so many people comment to me on the first couple of pages of my book, you know, which is acknowledgement of country on one page, and then it's everyone is welcome on the facing page. And I'd never seen either of those things in a book before.
It seems crazy that this is the first time I've seen it too.
Yeah. Like I'd seen versions probably of acknowledgement of country in terms of acknowledging elders and teachers. But the everyone is welcome here, I had never seen that in a book. And like that's staggering to me, right? Because even though I write for women and women are who I hold in my heart when I'm writing, everyone is welcome. Everyone is welcome, you know? And like that was just so, so important to me. And I was like, it has to be right up the front. Like I want it right on the first thing that you see after To All the Awakening Women, I want that. And that's what I mean by the lens. Like what is the lens through which you view the world through your business? So I don't know if that answers your question, but that's, yeah, that's where I am. And look, I can do more, right? I can do more, so much more in this space and want to, you know, it's really important to me. So yeah, I think some of that is going to come through my work with doTERRA. Like I can see me going into, you know, some of these developing countries and doing work with women and girls and education. You know, I'd really love to do that. Some of it will come through my work as well, through my businesses. Yeah.
It's so nice to hear how that works for you as a personal brand. I think sometimes we can feel like socially conscious business is for big business, you know, having particular policies in place and ticking boxes and those sorts of things, but to think of it as a lens that you ensure you're kind of viewing everything through.
Yeah, well, I mean, it comes down to your values, right? Mm. Like as business owners, what are the values we're showing up with? When I did my rebrand and I was doodling on my notebook about what was going to be in my banner, you know, well, what's going to be in the banner of the homepage other than Megan Della Camina? And I just wrote down on my notebook, like, what am I here for? And I wrote down love, wisdom, and tools for rising, just like bang on my page. And I was like, oh gosh, really? You're going to put love on the top of your website? Like, really? You really want to do that? And as I really fell into that, I was like, well, love's my number one value. My number one value. It's what I'm here for. So why wouldn't I do that? And as I started to share it with a couple of people, they were like, well, that's just who you are. You are love, wisdom, and tools for rising, like in a with a bow. So I think for us all as business owners to think like, what I said before, what are we here for? But like, who are we? Who do we want to be in our businesses? And like, it all comes back to service. It all comes back to service. Otherwise, what are we doing? You know, and that could be serving the three clients that you have. It could be serving, you know, 50,000 people. It doesn't matter. But having that lens on the values that you are operating with in the world personally and professionally, and they should be the same thing because we need to be in integrity, then yeah. Makes it pretty easy, really.
Yeah. Wow. Thank you, Megan. Sometimes I forget I'm here to ask you questions. I'm just so absorbing. I'm just sitting here absorbing your wisdom.
We could talk forever.
Yes. Yeah. Thank you so much for sharing your time and your experience with us today.
You're so welcome. Literally, I could keep going, but I know that you have a window. So I love talking to you. I love you all so much. I think you are doing such special things in the world individually and collectively, and it is a gift. And this is such an important conversation, and changing business from hustle to flow and yeah, just soul alignment, right? Like it's, yeah, I just honor all of you. I think it's so important. I love you guys so much.
We love you too.
Thank you.
Would you mind sharing with us how we can best connect with you?
Yeah. So megandellacamina.com is where I live online. And there's a whole bunch of goodies. And if anyone's interested in confidence, I've actually literally today put up a downloadable, beautiful PDF.
Clarity and confidence, the guidebook.
The guidebook, yeah, for my confidence. For my confidence ladies. So if you go to megandellacamino.com/confidence guide, you can go grab that. And then look, come hang with me on Facebook, but come live with me on Instagram. So I'm in Instagram all day. I'm on stories and my creative outlet, you know, like I love sharing stories and behind the scenes and all those things. So Facebook, yes, but Instagram, definitely.
I love that. I love living with you on Instagram, Len.
It's just fun. It's just beautiful. I love it.
Oh, thanks again so much, Megan. And for those listening live, I hope you have a beautiful rest of the day. It looks like we've got a couple of you in the Northern Hemisphere. So you're just starting your day, which is exciting. And if you're listening in later, I hope you have a lovely day or evening too.